Welcome back. Well, after a long delay, President Ramaphosa has finally signed the blueprint for fixing the country's healthcare system via a health compact. The World Health Organization has had a hand in developing the compact and is confident that its goals will be reached. Alex van den Heever from the Wits School of Governance has previously said that the existing system needs to be fixed before the NHI bill can actually be implemented. And Alex joins us now in studio with his views on where things are at this stage. Thanks so much, Alex, for joining us in studio this evening. So last year's Presidential Health Summit culminating now in the signing of the Health Compact. How much of a sign of progress is this really in improving the quality of South Africa's healthcare system?
Yeah, I'm very cynical about this particular compact, as it appears to be largely a public relations exercise. When you look at the content, the detail of what was created, there was a kind of a rush to come out with something that people would sign. And they placed priority on having people's signature on a piece of paper rather than on actually substantively trying to deal with the problems that we have in the South African health system, both in the public and the private sector. So when you look at the content, it's very shallow. It's just a kind of list, bullet list of issues that kind of don't quite get to grips with the real problems.
Okay, so we're looking at a 9-point plan or pillar plan that's been tabled here. Is there anything that's indicative of a realization of where the priorities need to be?
I don't think there are. For instance, one of the pillars will be sort of governance reform, dealing with the governance failures, the corruption within the health system. And it really just promises to do something about it. It doesn't actually show that it understands why we have a governance failure. And the governance failures have been diagnosed. I mean, they are largely a problem of political appointments, political invasion into, that means people who are political appointees mm-hmm. being put in operational positions, institutions and regulators that are not insulated from the executive of government. Now, that's a very key part of governance failure. That will destroy an entire system. So if you don't prioritize that as number one, you're going to get nowhere. And they haven't done that.
And that, I guess, even more important when you're looking at a system that's looking to work in a collaborative way, bringing public sector and private sector together. Do you see private sector buying into this?
Well, some parts of the private sector have signed on to this agreement, but my discussions with a lot of the people in the private sector are they just signed it because they didn't kind of want to look as if they're opposing things. It wasn't a real commitment to anything. So it was kind of an attempt to appease rather than anything else. So I think that that's actually part of the problem. I don't think that people were really committing to this as a process to change anything. They were really just signaling that they will generally support government.
All of this, Alex, then pointing to the fact that, you know, the honest and hard conversations that need to be had are just not happening.
No, there's none of that. The institutional reforms required in the public and the private sector are big, they're technical, they're difficult, they require very substantive, hard-hitting processes. They need to be ones which focus on real structural change. And they need people who can do the heavy lifting. They need substantive processes behind each of these elements. There is no sign that that is understood in the compact itself. It is really a shallow, it's kind of like a parliamentary report. Mm. A series of we will, we promise, we will.
And lines that we've heard before in various other sectors, lines like the transformation and effective resourcing of our health system is fundamental to our plans. Do we have the funding? We're putting funding and finances that we don't have behind ailing and failing SOEs.
Well, so one of the reasons why the SOEs are failing, well, that's it, there's a common reason why the SOEs are failing and the provincial administrations are failing. The structural corruption, the institutionalized corruption, means that the expenditure that is already incurred in those provinces is actually spent very inefficiently. If you look at the Auditor General's reports, the worst performing of all the functions is health. And that means our money that we are currently allocating is not adequate. And you can't just pour more money down this. You have to turn around these administrations and the governance frameworks. Otherwise, nothing helps.
Absolutely, where, you know, pouring money into this amounts to pouring money into a leaking bucket. Is this then just simply not enough, you know, to pave the way for an effective NHI scheme coming to the fore anytime soon?
Well, the model of NHI addresses nothing substantive within the health system. And you actually want to fix the health system, not to implement some NHI, but because it's the appropriate thing to do in and of itself. My concern with public relations exercises is that they are a deflection. It's a way of almost getting people not to quite look at the fact that you're not delivering. And my fear with this is that people are going to have is a 9-pillar plan. There was a 10-point plan in 2009. If you go back and look at the 10-point plan that Erin Mozzoledi promised and said, hold me to account on this, after 10 years, none of that was implemented properly. After 10 years, a 10-point plan wasn't. So now we've got a 9-pillar plan. It's not a plan. It's a bullet list.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is we're still not dealing with it. We've got billions of rands worth of medico-legal liabilities. We've got accruals going through the roof in many of the provinces. We are not managing staff and human resources effectively. There's no effective and proper drug management. We don't have governance of the hospitals in place. These are big, big processes that need to be, big, big problems that need to be addressed, and they're not.
And what makes NHI an even scarier prospect is that you've got the partners, like you say, private sector and public sector, simply not on the same page, singing off the same hymn sheet.
No, I mean, I think that many people, if I had to ask many officials in government, do you really understand what the NHI proposals entail? They don't. The trade unions are key to the political impetus behind the proposals. They don't really substantively understand them themselves. They imply that you're going to have a central insurer that's going to buy services from different public and private competitively. We are so far away from doing that, and that's not the model for South Africa. So it's not just that the public and the private sectors aren't on the same page. It doesn't make sense.
So seemingly today's compact not putting any solutions to the crisis facing South Africa's healthcare system on the table just yet. Alex, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Alex van den Heever is with the BIT School of Governance.